Welcome to Everybody Can, a conversation about volunteers and volunteer opportunities in Jefferson and Clallam counties. I'm your host, Missy Nielsen, career counselor and committed community volunteer. Our show is inspired by the words and spirit of Dr. Martin Luther King. Everybody can be great because everybody can serve. We bring you information about the people who volunteer, serve on boards, donate, and sometimes just show up to help build what King called a beloved community. And among our beloved community members, we have our marine life. SR3 holds this group of community members close. SR3 operates the Pacific Northwest's only hospital dedicated to marine wildlife. Opened in the spring of 2021, this rehab center is located just south of Seattle in Des Moines, Washington, that is, where several species of marine animals are being rehabilitated for the first time in our region. It is sobering to consider it is Washington State's only marine-focused wildlife rehab facility, and we have with us a couple of folks who are there stewarding it. Casey McLean, our executive director, and along with Casey, we have Ken Bach, board member and volunteer who lives in our own community and is here to discuss the potential and needs of this organization. Thanks for joining us today, you guys.
You're welcome.
Thanks for having us.
So, Casey, correct me. Are you indeed the executive director, or is there a different title I should have used for you?
No, I am the executive director, but along with that, I also wear a couple of other hats. I am a co-founder of this organization, so this is my heart and passion, and I'm also a veterinary nurse, animal care as well.
We could do a whole show on your bio. The two of you have a wealth of knowledge. And Ken, it was just wonderful and serendipitous to talk to you last summer at Concerts on the Dock. And I'm so glad you're here as well. Casey, I'd love for our listeners to learn a little bit more about this hospital. It indeed started in 2021. You founded it in 2021?
We opened the hospital in 2021. The organization was founded under a different name back in 2011, actually.
Okay.
And that really sprung from myself moving out here to the Pacific Northwest and realizing just what a critical gap in resources we had to help marine animals when they were sick or injured. There were a couple of terrestrial wildlife facilities that could take maybe a couple of harbor seal pups, but there wasn't anything for any larger animals. And certainly, you know, when you're dealing with hundreds, if not thousands, of other terrestrial animals, there's just limited resources for marine animals. They're quite large and kind of require some particular expertise to deal with them.
Right.
So there's just a lot of limitations. I was disappointed by that, having worked all over the country where there were lots of other facilities. And so I really wanted to see that change.
I learned through your website some really compelling pieces of information. And, you know, the first thought about rehabilitating wildlife, some folks might generally think, to what end would that serve? And I think you've got some really compelling reasons for us to understand why rehabilitation is so important. I mean, of course, we want to have empathy and compassion for a creature in pain, but I was really struck by the statistics that the increase of strandings and, again, you know, the impact to the environment, what they might be telling us. Let's talk a little bit more about why rehabilitation is so important and how maybe it dovetails into the work you do in research.
Yeah, you talked a little bit about that with the individual welfare of the animal that you're seeing right then and there, of course, being compelled to take care of that. But the bigger issue that we look at is, what are they telling us about the health of our environment? So whether that is a terrestrial animal or a marine animal, they're telling you something about that environment that they live in. And I think over the past few years, we've all seen just how interconnected human health is with our environment health and our animal health. So as apex predators in the ocean, we should be paying some pretty close attention if these animals are showing up sick, particularly sick, but of course stranded. That's showing us what impact we're having and how we can mitigate that.
And for our listeners, would you mind defining apex?
Oh, yes. Sorry. So top of the food chain.
Yeah.
They are, and they're eating a lot of what we eat. So if they're eating it and getting sick, we might want to be careful if we're eating that as well.
Yeah, there's a lot to be said about, you know, the cumulative impact. So And we'll probably wind back to some of those research questions, but the curiosity is about this hospital. So you had an identity or a footprint, so to speak, for about 10 years, but this hospital is located in Des Moines. And talk a little bit about the size or you know, who do you have in hand and how what animals you serve best and which more are challenging?
Yeah, so we were really excited to call Des Moines, Washington our home because the city really sees our vision for this. Mm-hmm. And while we're starting off in a smaller footprint right now, we do have a future vision with the city of how we could be more incorporated and grow to expand the needs of wildlife here in the region. So for right now, we have a couple of outdoor pools and they can hold anything from a small harbor seal pup all the way up to a large sea lion, a sea otter, a sea turtle, or even a dolphin or porpoise, a small one, if necessary. Mm-hmm. Fortunately, that doesn't happen too often in our region, but we try to make it so that we are flexible enough to be prepared for what may come through the door in need of help. And part of that is the fact that each of these animals has something to teach us about the health of the Salish Sea. And really, this is all about science. What's going on out there? What kind of research and things can we be learning? With wildlife rehabilitation, oftentimes, unless you're talking about an endangered species, the goal is not to save every single animal. Mm. It's for us to actually learn about what is happening out there and, of course, address any kind of human impact we may be having.
And so is the hospital setting, it has a surgical suite as well, too? I mean, it has a true vet office. You'd see all of those bells and whistles there?
You would. We do have a building on site that has our vet or surgical suites. We also have our fish prep kitchen or food prep kitchen. We've got some office space. And then we have another area outside that is covered for our critical care patients that might need some temperature control or more hands-on care, that kind of thing.
Oh my goodness, folks, if you're just joining us right now, this is Missy Nielsen with Everybody Can, and we are talking to the folks from SR3, a wildlife marine hospital, rescue, recovery, and research. We have with us Casey McLean and Ken Bach, who volunteers with this organization. Ken, so I was talking to Casey about the hospital setting and what is there in that location. Tell me about your role with the organization as a volunteer.
Well, actually, my main role, I came on as a board member, and my objective really is to help the center grow. Mm. You know, I have a little bit of this in my history, because back when I lived in California, I volunteered for a similar organization, Marine Mammal Center down in Sausalito. And when I got involved in that organization, I didn't realize how much it really became part of me. You know, I learned so much about the passion folks had for volunteering, what they got out of it, seeing that we're making an impact in maybe a small part of the world and the environment. And really, what really got me more than anything else is the passion of the volunteers. You know, the folks that got involved in volunteering, it was almost more important to them than any other part of their daily lives at that point. And it became such for me, too, to the point where my daughter became a volunteer after I left California at the Marine Mammal Center, and then now is in vet school. And it's all prompted probably from her early experiences with me doing rescues. So when I moved up to Washington, you know, I don't have the time I did back then or the energy, maybe because I'm a little older now, but I wanted to help another organization grow. Mm-hmm. And I can do that in a different way by being on their board, helping them with fundraising opportunities, helping get the word out. And that's what my goal is, especially living on this side of the Sound. You know, I can be that resource for SR3.
You just brought tears to my eyes because it is, I believe, volunteering, connecting with community with a shared purpose, becoming embedded in your home with an understanding of that of the value of each other. It is mental health improves, you know, financially you gain skill sets when you volunteer, your self-esteem, your purpose. So Ken, you just spoke to my heart directly on how volunteering really can shape your life.
You know, what's interesting is I had a young man one time ask me, a young boy actually, because I also served as a docent at another marine mammal type facility, Annie Nuevo. And he asked me, he goes, do you get paid for this? And I looked at him, I said, no, I'm a volunteer. He said, what do you do with then? I said, you can be paid in many different ways. It's the satisfaction and joy you get out of helping some other creature or some other person. Looked at me baffled at first, and I think he got it, but he was young, and hopefully he understood that. But that's really my pay.
Yeah, exactly. I have a program, a feature that I focus on micro moments of kindness, and it doesn't take much, and everybody can have an impact. And mm-hmm. as far as the SR3 organization, let's talk a little bit about how folks might engage. Most of this program, I really want to focus on just public information, as Ken is talking about, getting the word out. And you are thinking about other ways to do that, but give us a call to action. How can we reach you if we're kind of moved to know more about your organization? Let's talk about the future, Casey.
Yeah, one of the things I wanted to say about, you guys were talking about volunteering, is that SR3 is unique in the fact that this is somewhere people can come and contribute hands-on to marine mammal conservation. And that's, we don't have that with anything else necessarily as far as caring for the animals in our region. And it's a place where interns can come and gain skills that they're going to need to get careers in the marine mammal field. And so I think that's a really valuable resource that we're bringing to this area. Facilities like this don't operate without volunteers. It's impossible. So they are part of the team. They are embedded in everything we're doing. We have tiered training programs so we can help them advance their skills as they feel comfortable and desire to do so. And lots of different opportunities, recognizing that everybody has a different skill set to contribute.
I make it a point to check out volunteer pages on websites of folks that I'm talking to. And your application was really excellent because it did ask those more nuanced, what skills you want to work with and a little bit more about it, and that you do have training. And so what is your website? Let's not forget to get some information out there for folks to know how to look you up and learn more.
Yeah, so our website is S as in Sam, R as in Robert, the number 3.org. So SR3.org.
And they'll drill down to a page that might be about us or get connected. There's a
Yes, if you go under Get Involved and perfect. Then the volunteering opportunities on that page, and you can fill out an application from there. You can sign up to receive our e-newsletter if you'd like to hear more about our patients or what's going on with our research. Lots of opportunity.
And you do have, you know, this upcoming summer, you mentioned that there might be some potential for more engagement. And I see on your website, you do have kind of a spring fall focus for folks getting involved, for example, if they wanted to help with strandings. But what else is on your calendar as you look forward to, casting the vision, so to speak, the next 6 to 9 months?
Yeah, so we're really excited that we're partnering with a couple of our local stranding network partners that are right next to us to kind of start this, we're calling a marine mammal stewards program, where folks can help do some education on the beach just about marine mammals in general. Mm-hmm. So maybe some of that will be going on. I think that's something that a lot of stranding networks do throughout our region, try and do that public education and outreach. Mm-hmm. You will start to see us out in the community more as more events and festivals are going on now as the world kind of reopens again. So you might encounter us out there. So please stop by booths and say hello and learn more about SR3.
I think we have some fabulous nonprofits that would be wonderful partners for you in this area. I think I would be really excited to see a booth with your name on it and learn more. Let me ask a question, though. Ken, you may or may not be able to answer this. It's said that volunteers under the age of 18, you really are working with adults there, but could a visitor come to your hospital, with a prearranged, could we, say, maybe I wanted to bring a younger student who's interested?
We are not open to the public.
Okay.
So occasionally we will do, during the summer, we may have some opportunity behind the scenes tours for our supporters and very small groups. But again, these are wild animals. So we don't have a steady stream of folks coming through. We want to make sure that they don't become habituated to people, meaning too used to people, because we need to return them to the ocean. So we try and do as much as we can online so people can see what's going on. There may be an opportunity to potentially attend a release or something like that. But generally, those things are reserved for folks that are already part of our community and supporting us. So we don't have huge groups of folks.
You know, that's a really important point about bringing up the sensitivity. These are patients and they are trying to recover. And this is not their normal home. And along with this wonderful application, I noticed one of the agreements I had to actually consider was some fabulous information. I was so struck, like, it is so important. You need to know that not talking in the animal care unless it's absolutely necessary. Don't look at the animals for lengthy periods of time, keeping a distance, never touching. You know, I just thought those were really great pieces of information. And if folks would go to your website, I think filling out the application is super helpful too, because you can select just chunks of time and skill sets. And Ken, for you, I didn't get to hear more of how you reach a larger community. You mentioned your work was informed a little bit, or I should say your work at the board is informed by your professional work. What is the work that work you do? You work in plastics, you said, in textiles?
No, I actually work in business development in for a textile company, producing textile for signage.
I can
overlap that into SR3. I have been able to get some donations done by some print shops for some of the print needs we have. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to address another point about volunteerism, especially out in Outside of the Sound.
Yes.
Because it's not really easy for a volunteer to get over to Des Moines to volunteer with the animals. And as I've said to folks many times in the past, everyone's a volunteer, even if they're not officially an SR3 volunteer. For example, if you're on the beach and you see an animal, even if it's not stranded, you're a volunteer because you can help educate folks what they should do when they're around a marine mammal as it's in its natural habitat.
Excellent.
You know, staying back a certain distance, not letting your dog off leash. Now, these are areas that they can actually be productive, even though they're not official volunteers for SR3. And when they do encounter a stranded marine animal, there's agencies they can contact, and Casey, you can probably address that more so than I can, that would do the rescue or the observation to see if the animal needs to be brought into SR3. And in other ways, too, folks on Outside of the Sound can participate. You know, obviously, donations. You know, to run an organization like SR3 takes a lot of money, as you can imagine, even though most of the folks we have are volunteers, but the animal care, upkeep, food, it's expensive. And minimally, that is one area if people want to get involved. But then just getting involved in programs that we may do out here and on our side of the Sound. You know, I mentioned to you, I'm hoping to organize some kind of sea festival later on this calendar year with the cooperation of local organizations. That's not on the agenda yet. Mm-hmm. But if folks want to get involved in that, they can even contact me sooner than later to let me know they want to be involved as volunteers or in donations for that type of event.
And how would we reach you, Ken? What's the best way? Email or phone number or?
Email would be the best way.
Excellent. And your email is on the website under the board member. So going to the website, they can reach you. You mentioned some really great ideas, and I can imagine just having, I think of the Monterey Bay Aquarium, they have these cards with the red, yellow, green in terms of the viability of the animal, whether you should be eating it and how they're doing it and pollutants. I thought, gosh, if I had a set of cards, like you said, everybody can be a volunteer, community, citizen, scientist, easily saying with a card, oh, I noticed you were there. Here's an organization I'm associated, and would have those tips. There's so much that can be done, and strandings are everywhere, and it might be that it'd be closer to our home to respond. So I don't see the geography being a limiter at all. There's a lot to be done to take care of our sea, our Salish Sea, and I'm so glad you guys are there for the animals.
They can go to our website, and there's a connection to the Stranding Network, which is where they would need to contact. A website could be a great resource for them, where they learn, and that's where they can also learn what they can do when they see an animal in the wild, what actions they should take or shouldn't take.
Well, I appreciate the time you took today, Casey McLean. Your vision is astounding, and I can't wait to learn more about this organization. And Ken, sign me up if you want a little bit of help for that SeaFest concept. I'd be happy to help you move the information along.
Thank you so much. We really appreciate it, and thanks for sharing.
Thank you.
The word about SR3.
All right. And thank you, Ken.
You're quite welcome.
This is Missy Nielsen, host of Everybody Can, and I thank you for taking the time to listen to our program today. It is our hope that in sharing these stories, we've uplifted and encouraged you to find your own path to belonging, explore a new skill set, or simply impact the life of another, changing the arc of their potential. And if you'd like to listen to more stories such as these, you will find them archived on our podcast page on our website at kptz.org.